Our hope is anchored in the perfect Word of God. In the midst of the pandemic storm, our hope is anchored in the covenant promises of God and His perfect faithfulness to keep His promises and to perform His Word for His people. Amen? Now, the word hope in the English language often conveys a sense of doubt, if you think about it, and if you think about how people use the word hope in the American vernacular, it really conveys more of a sense of doubt. For instance, someone might say, I hope it doesn't rain tomorrow. Yeah. Or I hope it doesn't this, or I hope it doesn't that. And at times, the word hope is followed by the word so. For example, the answer that someone may give when they have been asked the question, will you go to heaven when you die? They might say, I hope so. Just the way that I used to say when I was a Catholic before I was born again. I used to say, I hope so. I remember one of my college professors who was a born-again believer who was witnessing to me. And I gave him that response. He said, if you walked across the street today and you got hit by a truck and killed, would you go to heaven? And I said, I hope so. And he said, well, if you don't know, then you're not going. And that really got my attention. Some people think they're going, but they're really not going. But we can know that we can know that we can know that we're going by what God's Word says about how to get there. Amen? The biblical meaning of hope has its foundation in faith. Faith is belief and trust. Do you really believe that what you say you believe is really real? Our hope is based upon our belief and trust in the perfect faithfulness of God through Christ Jesus, our Savior and Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Now, in the Old Testament, as you look through that and do some word studies, you'll find that the Hebrew words related to hope convey the impression of trust, confidence, security, expectation, and catch this now, being without worry. How many of you here are challenged by that one? Now, you can certainly have genuine, legitimate concerns about one thing or another. But catch this now, worrying has its basis in doubt. When you look into the New Testament, the Greek words related to hope do not convey any sense of doubt. Doubt gives way to worry. Worry gives way to anxiety. Anxiety gives way to fear. And fear is false evidence appearing real. You start to believe the false evidence rather than what God's Word says about it. And so the concept of doubt, catch this now, has no part in the biblical definition of hope. There is no doubt in biblically based hope. Amen? The Bible is the unadulterated Word of God, and it's authored by the Holy Spirit of God, so that we can put our full confidence in it without a doubt. Without a doubt, let's say that together. Without a doubt. Sometimes I've doubted it. How about you? Based on what I see in the natural, sometimes I've doubted what God's Word has said about it. Biblically based hope is a confident expectation and assurance based upon the sure foundation of God's Word and His perfect faithfulness to keep His Word, as we wait with full confidence and joyful expectation that He will keep His Word in His time and in His way for our greater good and for His greatest glory. Amen?
Amen.
I get a little impatient. How about you? Come on, God, do it. But the Spirit of God is stirring in our midst to challenge us afresh today. Do you really believe that what you say you believe is really real? We find the word hope in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. And it reads like this. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not yet see. That's a little challenging, isn't it? How can I be certain of what I do not yet see? Well, naturally speaking, I'm not going to have much certainty. But biblically speaking, I can be certain in what I have not yet seen because God's Word says this about that. Amen? I was reminded of an interaction that Jesus had after His resurrection. And He had a conversation with Thomas, who's been characterized as being Doubting Thomas, because here Jesus had resurrected and He had appeared to the other disciples when Thomas wasn't there. And then later on, Jesus appeared again. And in the meantime, the disciples were telling Thomas, "Oh, Jesus appeared. He's resurrected. Jesus appeared." And Thomas said, "I won't believe it until I see it." Although Jesus had told them all along the way before He was crucified and died, He said, "I'm going to be crucified, I'm going to be buried, I'm going to be raised to new life." He told them ahead of time, "This is what's going to happen." But Thomas said, "I'm not going to believe it until I see it." And so in John 20, verse 29, Jesus said to him, Now you believe because you have seen. Blessed are those who believe having not yet seen." Amen? Amen. The Amplified transliteration of Hebrews 11:1 reads like this. Now faith is the assurance. What's that assurance? The assurance, that being the title deed confirmation of things hoped for that are divinely guaranteed. Well, let that statement sink in for a minute. When you have the title deed of something, that's yours, right? The Word of God is the title deed for you. If you own a house, you have the title deed of ownership and all the rights and privileges that go with that. Amen? And so the Amplified transliteration goes like that and says, "Now faith is the assurance, that being the title deed confirmation of things hoped for that are divinely guaranteed for you and for you and for you and for all who believe on Jesus' name." It's divinely guaranteed, amen, in His time and in His way. And it's the evidence of things not yet seen. What's that all about? The supernatural realm poised to be made evident in the natural realm. Amen? The supernatural realm poised to be made evident in the natural realm. The conviction of their reality in the kingdom of heaven, which faith comprehends as fact. Are we comprehending as fact right here on earth the realities of heaven that are poised to be evidenced in the natural realm, in God's time and in God's way? Faith that comprehends as fact that which has not yet been experienced by the physical senses. That's a little challenging, is it? Isn't it? But God, by His Spirit, is continuing to move in our midst. Do you really believe that what you say you believe is really real? Do you really believe in what God's Word says about the heavenly realm and about the supernatural realm and about how you have been seated with Christ in the heavenly realms and you have been given riches and glory in the heavenly realms, and some of that's going to be made evident on earth according to the promises of God in your life as you continue to walk in His ways? Amen? this verse strategically placed at the beginning of the Heroes of Faith chapter in Hebrews 11 carries with it all of the confidence that comes with knowing for sure what we have been promised by God in His Word without question. Without question, let's say that together. Without question, without doubt, without anxiety, without fear of what's in store for our lives in Christ Jesus, our Savior and Lord. Amen? He has good plans for you. Plans for a hope and a good future and not for calamity or harm. Do you believe that here? Our hope is based on a confident assurance that is founded upon the rock of our salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our perfectly faithful Redeemer and Deliverer and Provider and Protector and Healer. Amen? No pandemic, virus, or weapon of any kind formed against us shall prosper. Amen? For we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus, our Savior and Lord. He is Jehovah Rohi, our protector. He is Jehovah Jireh, our provider. He is Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals us. Our hope is in His covenant promises to protect and to provide and to heal. Amen?
Amen.
The miraculous testimonies of the heroes of faith recorded in Hebrews 11 came to pass, catch this now, because their belief and trust was based in their confident assurance of God's faithfulness to His word to them. And as born again believers, we are called to give an answer for the hope that is within us to anyone who would ask. Amen?
Amen.
Do you really believe that what you say you believe is really real? Do you believe it enough to share it with someone else? Biblical hope is a reality, not a feeling. Biblical hope carries no doubt. Biblical hope is a sure foundation upon which we base our lives, believing that God always keeps His promises in His time and in His way for our greater good and for His greatest glory. Amen?
Amen.
Timing is everything. His timing. His ways. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Shout a praise in the fellowship of faith. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. For Laura and Olivia. Hallelujah. Our hope is a confident assurance when we trust the full breadth of Jesus' words from John chapter 6, verse 37. That anyone who believes and trusts in Him has eternal life. Amen?
Amen?
And further from John 10, verse 10, that Jesus has come that we would have life and that we would have it more abundantly in this life. Amen?
Amen.
And from Hebrews 13, verse 5, He will never fail you or abandon you. Amen?
Amen?
Do you really believe that here today? He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He will never abandon you. No matter what's going on around you. Amen? No matter what it may seem like in the natural, He will supernaturally guard you. Amen?
Amen.
Do you have any doubt about that today? Do you really believe that here today? Oh, Spirit of God, come and cause faith to rise up in us. Cause faith to rise up in the hearts of every person listening to this message, Lord God Almighty, that has any doubt, Lord God Almighty. Cause faith to give rise to a renewed hope in the hearts of every person in this place and in the hearts of every person listening to this message at whatever point in time they may be listening to it, Lord God Almighty. I decree a fresh impartation of faith right now in Jesus' name to be imparted to every listener of this message. That hope would rise up. Renewed hope would rise up from a fresh impartation of faith, Lord God Almighty, unto the salvation of their soul. and the building up of your church, our brothers and sisters in Christ. We bless your name, Lord. We praise you and thank you for what you'll do.
Yes.
To accomplish this decreed word, Lord God Almighty. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Be encouraged afresh today. The gift of eternal life is a package of blessings for this life and for the life to come. It's a package of blessings. It's a retirement package. Amen.
Amen.
It's a package of provision here on earth. It's a package of protection and provision and healing and blessing. Amen. And it's based upon the covenant promises of God. The covenant promises of God that He made with Abraham, that we who are Gentiles, who have been adopted into the covenant promises of Abraham, that God made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and down through the line of Jesus Christ to us. The covenant promises of God to protect us and to provide for us and to preserve our well-being for those who call ourselves by His name and purpose to walk in His ways. Amen. Are you calling yourself by Jesus' name? Are you purposing every day to walk in His ways? Well, if you are, then He'll protect you. And He'll provide for you.
Amen.
And He'll preserve your well-being. Amen?
Amen.
You may not know exactly how He's going to do that, but we don't have to try to figure it out. All we need to know, one day at a time, one day at a time. Lord, give me your vision for today.
Yes.
And should you give me another day? Give me vision for the next day. And should you give me another day? Give me vision for the next day. Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow. Today has enough to think about. Amen?
Amen.
Sometimes we get ourselves thinking too far ahead and we're speculating, and all of a sudden the worries and the anxieties and the fear creep in. Because the covenant promises of God to protect, provide, and preserve our well-being are for those who call ourselves by Jesus' way, as such, our hope is no longer filled with doubt.
Amen.
But rather, it has its sure foundation in the whole counsel of God's Word.
Yes.
The whole counsel of God's Word. In other words, whatever you're going through, whatever the subject matter is, whatever the topic is, whatever it is that's going on around you, take the whole counsel of Scripture on that topic. Not just one verse or one part of the Scriptures. Take the time to do a topical study, to look into every verse in the Bible that you can possibly look into that has to do with that subject. Take the whole counsel of Scripture so that you can see what God's intention is.
Yes.
For whatever it is that you're going through. Amen?
Amen.
Our sure foundation is on the whole counsel of God's Word. It's on the entirety of God's character. And it's on the finished work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the redeeming power of His shed blood and the overcoming power of His resurrection. Amen?
Amen.
Do you really believe that here today? Is what you're saying and what you're doing validating what you claim to believe? Oh, Spirit of God, come and help us. Help us to answer that question with an affirmation. Is what I'm saying and what I'm doing validating what I claim to believe? God, by His Word and by His Spirit, is instructing each of us afresh today that faith and hope are distinct from one another, but yet they are closely related to one another. Two of the three greatest gifts are faith and hope, as listed separately in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13. But yet in Hebrews 11, verse 1, faith and hope are interrelated. Faith is confidence in what we hope for. And what we hope for, catch this now, is that which is in accordance with the Word of God. What are we hoping for? Our hope is not to be a self-stylized, self-satisfying, relativistic kind of hope. Our hope is to be based in the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
And since we believe and trust that He is perfectly faithful to keep His word, do you believe that here today? Then our hope should be a joyful expectation that He will work things out in our lives. If we really believe and trust that He is perfectly faithful to keep His word, then our hope should be an ongoing joyful expectation for what He's going to do. Now that's easier said than done. Said than done. I know that I have fallen short of that many times. I'm not always in a place of joyful expectation. How about you? But we can be.
Yes.
We have to discipline ourselves. We have to discipline our mindset. We have to discipline our perspective to say, I'm going to set my mind on what the Word of God says. And I'm going to believe and trust that He is perfectly faithful to keep His Word. And as such, I will have a joyful expectation that He will work things out in my life. And I don't necessarily need to know how He will work things out. I just need to believe and trust that He will.
That's right.
Amen?
That's right.
Sometimes I think it's more exciting when He doesn't show you how He's going to do it. Right? Because you're like, oh boy, what's God going to do? What's He going to do? And then when He does, you're like, whoa, look at what God did. Amen? And so no matter what we may seem to be enduring through in the natural circumstances of our lives, as we are forwardly waiting for the fulfillment of His covenant promises over our lives, are you forwardly waiting? Or are you shrinking back? As we're forwardly waiting with joyful expectation for the fulfillment of His covenant promises over our lives, let us strip off everything that weighs down our sanctification process. And especially the particular sins which more easily and cleverly entangle us. Stripping off the garments of carnality and sensuality, and putting on the garments of purity and holiness. Amen?
Amen?
We have to purpose to do that on a daily basis and throughout each day. Because Satan is vying for your senses, vying for your mindset, competing with the still small voice of the Lord for your mindset. And we have to discipline ourselves to set our minds on the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit in you. Incline yourself to the Spirit. Surrender yourself to the transforming work of the Holy Spirit. To strip off the garments of carnality in your life. To strip off the garments of sensuality. And to put on the garments of purity and holiness. Amen?
Amen.
And run with endurance. Run with active persistence the race that God has set before you. The race that He has set before you might be a little bit different than the race that He has set before me. But it's all going to end up in the same place. Amen?
Amen.
For His glory. And the purification of His church. He's coming back for a pure and spotless bride. And you're part of that bride. The bride of Christ. No matter what we may seem to be enduring through in the natural circumstances of our lives, let us run with endurance and active persistence the race that God has set before us, looking away from everything that would distract us. A lot of distractions out there. Especially now in the electronic age that we live in. And I believe that God is saying again this week, as He said last week, turn it off. Don't listen to so many things.
Yes. Yes.
Turn it off. And get in that still, quiet place with me.
Yes.
And listen to my still, small voice.
Yes.
And you're only going to hear it if you turn a bunch of other stuff off. Focusing our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and perfecter of our faith. He is the first incentive of our belief. And the one who brings our faith to maturity. He's our example. Amen?
Amen.
Who for the joy of accomplishing the goal that was set before Him, He endured the cross. And he even disregarded the shame of it. It was a shameful thing to be crucified. God took him down a path to say, Jesus, my son, I'm going to take you down a path where you're going to be shamed before men. I'd be a little bit challenged to go down that path. How about you? He disregarded the shame of it because he knew what God was calling him to. He knew that this was the path that God had him on. And he knew that as long as he was where God wanted him to be, doing what God wanted him to do, in the manner and the time that God the Father wanted him to do it in, then he knew on the other side was going to be glory.
Amen?
Amen. And it's the same for you and it's the same for me. Amen?
As to the race
that God has set before us. Jesus endured the cross, disregarding the shame of it. And then he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God the Father.
Yes.
What a promotion. Amen?
Amen.
From shame to being seated at the right hand of God the Father.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
And that revealed his deity. And that revealed his authority. And it revealed the completion of his mission here on earth. And so take some time each and every day to reflect upon Jesus' road to the cross, because there's so much there that we can derive that's of value to us. Just consider and meditate on him who endured from sinners such bitter hostility against himself for our sake. Consider it all in comparison with your own trials for his sake. Amen? So that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Make no mistake about it. Faith and hope are complementary. Faith is grounded in the reality of the past. What we know God has said and has already done. How many of you here have an easier time with faith on what you know God has already done?
Yeah.
Right? God said he was going to do that, and he did it.
Right.
I can look back on it and say, have faith in that. But where hope complements faith is that hope is looking to the reality of the future.
Right.
What we know that God has said he will do.
Right.
Amen?
Amen?
That's kind of how they complement one another. And so since faith and hope are interrelated in a complementary way, then without faith, there is no true hope. And without hope, there is no true faith.
Right. That's true.
The Apostle Paul was speaking to one of his proteges, Titus, in Titus chapter 1, verse 2. Just make a note of it. It's not on the board here. That as born again believers, we are to be people of faith and hope. Since we have the hope of eternal life, which God, who does not lie, has promised to those who believe and trust in him. Purposing, as the Apostle Paul encouraged Titus, and God by his word and by his spirit is encouraging us and urging us afresh today as believers, purpose to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age.
Amen.
While we wait for our blessed hope.
Amen.
The appearing of our great Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, when he comes again. Amen?
Amen.
Our ultimate blessed hope is to be absent from this body of sin and death. I mean, that's hard for me to wrap my mind around sometimes. Because there's quite a bit in my life that I'm enjoying on this earth. How about you? My wife and my kids and my grandkids and all the wonderful dynamics that God has blessed us with in this life. Amen. Along with the trials and tribulations and sufferings and testings. I'm enjoying the blessings of this life. How about you?
Yes, absolutely.
But our ultimate blessed hope is to be absent from this body of sin and death, raptured into the Lord's presence. Are you practicing your rapture jump? Are you wondering what you might be doing at the moment of rapture? That's our ultimate blessed hope. To be raptured into the Lord's presence or resurrected from the dead, whichever might come first for us. Once and for all finished with the struggle with sin. Once and for all finished with the struggle with this fallen world and thoroughly present with the Lord. That's our ultimate blessed hope. Amen?
Yes.
But in the meantime, what we may suffer now in this life is nothing compared to the glory that He will reveal to us in the life to come.
Amen?
Amen? Do you really believe that here today? In Christ Jesus, our hope is not uncertain, but rather, it's a joyful assurance that God will extend His benefits to us in this life and in the life to come when Jesus Christ returns. He will establish His kingdom of perfect righteousness and peace on this reconfigured earth, where we will rule and reign with Him for 1,000 years in the millennial reign of Jesus Christ, when God will bring full circle the completion of His original plan for mankind on this earth. Check it out in Revelation chapter 20. Read that chapter every day to keep your hope lifted. In the meantime, God is calling us with an urgency, urgency, urgency in these tumultuous times to maintain godly living in a progressively ungodly world. To purify ourselves. To purify ourselves in our thoughts. To purify ourselves in our words. To purify ourselves in our actions. In our motives, in our expectations, in our appetites and drives and desires, in our emotional expression. To purify ourselves in anticipation of His return. He's coming back for a pure and spotless bride. And the onus is on each of us who are part of that bride of Christ to pay attention to how we're living our lives from inside out, publicly and privately. Amen?
Amen?
Purposing to discipline ourselves, to walk at all times, inclining ourselves to the Holy Spirit, submitting ourselves to the leadings of the Holy Spirit, and progressive, consistent obedience to the directives and commands of God's Word. And to do whatever we can with whatever we have right where we are to serve one another in loving kindness. To build each other up in Christ. To build up our brothers and sisters in Christ. And to reach others for Christ. Oh, I think we have an opportunity now like never before. With this pandemic situation that's going on. To reach all the anxious people around us with the hope of Christ. To let them know what the hope is that we have within us. I think we have a great opportunity as born again believers. More than 6 months ago.
Sure.
To reach anxious people, fearful people.
Yeah.
For Christ. And sometimes all it takes is one Spirit-led word. For you to say to that person in the grocery store 6 feet away from them. Guess what? Your voice carries over 6 feet.
Yes, come on. Yes.
And guess what?
Yes.
You can latch somebody's gaze 6 feet away if they won't let you get any closer. Amen?
Yes. Amen.
And you can give a word of the Lord to them.
Yes.
And that they can give their lives to the Lord at a 6 foot distance from you. Amen?
Amen.
Do you really believe that here today?
Yes.
God is urging us, urging us, urging us to not pull ourselves in, but to reach out as best we can with prudence.
Yes.
Amen?
Mm-hmm.
And with faith. Prudence and faith. Amen? Yes. To reach others for Christ with the message of our hope in Him unto the salvation of our souls. Amen? Because our hope in Him never disappoints.
That's right.
Our hope in Him never disappoints. Let's say that together. Our hope in Him never disappoints. Check it out. Romans chapter 5, verse 5. See it for yourself. Read it. Take it in. Imbibe it into yourself. And let it be a declaration.
Yes.
As part of your declarations throughout each and every day. Amen?
Amen.
Bow your heads now and take a quiet moment of prayer reflection now as the word of the Lord has come to you today.